Sāma dāmsa la gōrū chāki dēdē dā jābchī tūpā dā sāmbā dā gōmī kērā gōngi gōngdā pār tōyē pā sīmjī nāna pēmbā jāchēmbā jōgōmā.
Wish you all tashi delek this afternoon. Along with that, I pray that your wisdom arising from listening to, reflecting on, and meditating on the teachings of the genuine Dharma will increase, and that through this you will be of great benefit to all of the limitless number of sentient beings.
Let's
begin by singing Milarepa's authentic portrait of the middle way. From the standpoint of the truth that's ultimate, besides no blocks there are not even Buddhas, no meditator and no meditated, no paths and levels traveled and no signs, and no fruition bodies and no wisdom, and therefore there is no nirvana there. Just designations using names and statements, all animate inanimate, the three realms, unborn and non-existent. From the outset, no base to rest on, do not coexist. There is no karmic act, no maturation. So even the name samsara does not exist. That's the way these are in the final picture. But oh, if sentient beings did not exist, what would the Buddhas of three times all come from? Since fruition with no cause impossible. So the standpoint of the truth that's relative is samsara's wheel, nirvana past all greed. It all exists, that is the sage's teaching. Then what exists appearing to be things, and their non-existence, pure being emptiness, are essentially inseparable one taste. And therefore there is neither self-awareness, nor awareness,
of what's other anywhere. All of this a union vast and spacious, and all those skilled in realizing this do not see consciousness, they see the wisdom. Do not see sentient beings, they see Buddhas. Don't see phenomena, they see pure beings. And out of this compassion just emerges retention, powers, fearlessness, and all the qualities embodied by a Buddha. Just come as if you had a wishing jewel. This is what I, the yogi, have realized.
Hola, Satam. Tuni Chudogan Nami Talam Talende Pitongani.
From among the 16 emptinesses, we have reached the ninth, the emptiness of that which is beyond extremes.
Kalantane you member, tenant talent deva, te de cone tobanin talent deva toni ne.
And the root verse says, that to which extremes do not apply is expressed as being beyond extremes. Its emptiness of its very self is explained to be the emptiness of that which is beyond extremes. Given the path of the middle way, extremes do not apply to it because it is beyond extremes.
Tanda omalam de talindebare, talindeba teyarangamo rangijitomare.
In genuine reality, the path of the middle way is beyond all extremes. But this being beyond all extremes is also empty of its own essence, and that is the emptiness of that which is beyond extremes. In order to help us reverse our clinging to that which is beyond extremes as being truly existent, the Buddha taught of the emptiness of that which is beyond extremes. One can have an idea of what it means to be beyond extremes, but if you're attached to that as being something truly existent, then that's just a conceptual fabrication. And that's why it's important for us to reverse our clinging to that which is beyond extremes as being real also. So let's recite this verse together. That to which extremes do not apply is expressed as being beyond extremes. Its emptiness of its very self is explained to be the emptiness of that which is beyond extremes. The tenth is the emptiness of that which has neither beginning nor end.
Toma tambu tama da teda meben korvan. Toma tama mebar ju drong razer melande. Se de teye vini kan tena toma tang tama meba tomba nido yi tenju lene mebar ni.
And the root verses read, since it has no point when it began, nor time when it will end, samsara is called that which has neither beginning nor end. Since it is free from coming and going, it is like a dream. Samsaric existence is void of samsaric existence. This is the emptiness of that which has neither beginning nor end. It was definitively taught in Nagarjuna's treatise.
Korvani chuchin Toma da tama me bar jude Toma dambo dan tade Teda me bese
Given samsara, it has no beginning because and no end because it has no point when it began nor any time when it will end.
Rova dang wane, rong len de ba di ser, mlam dang rawa, mlam dawe, sipang korwan de, di wene, kowa rang ngowe wenba ni kanyen ba, tene, toma da tama me ba tongba ni do, toma da tama me ba tongba ni do. Ki, gombo lorup je, omenten ju tawa kirab le,
Since samsara doesn't come from anywhere and it doesn't go anywhere, it's just like a dream. And this samsaric existence is empty of itself. It's empty of or void of the very samsaric existence that it appears to be. This is called the emptiness of that which has neither beginning nor end, and it was taught definitively in Nagarjuna's treatise called The Fundamental Wisdom of the Middle Way.
Tenda mlam dawe yin yang mlam chungan rong dan darwa to lava lava pe la tinde mlam chenpo nyimita nawande nando yimidru bale. Tembale.
This life is appearance emptiness, and everything in it is like a dream. And in order to help us realize this, appearance emptiness, even though all of this life is equally appearance emptiness, then it's divided into two, the big sleep and of the daytime and the little sleep of the nighttime. And the little sleep of dreams is used as an example to show that the big sleep of the day is not truly existent. We'll read together. Since it has no point when it began, nor time when it will end, samsara is called that which has neither beginning nor end. Since it is free from coming and going, it is like a dream. Samsaric existence is void of samsaric existence. This is the emptiness of that which has neither beginning nor end. It was definitively taught in Nagarjuna's treatise.
Da chukye kwa torwa me batong banye.
The 11th is the emptiness of what should not be abandoned.
Torwa kizan torwa dang borwa la ne ne barju. Torme tong me ba te gayan torme kayen. Parwa mepa tenyi je, tenyi tongpa nye kang, teji sena tol mepa tongpa nye ji sabar.
To abandon something means to throw it away or to get rid of it. What should not be abandoned is what one should never cast away from oneself, the Mahayana. What should not be abandoned is empty of its very self. Since this emptiness is its nature, it is called the emptiness of what should not be abandoned.
Ta torvatam, morvatam, yugyakvatasutam je tuyanda chekvare.
The first couple lines are giving some different synonyms to abandon something, to throw it away, to get rid of it. They all mean the same thing.
Torwa meba te kanre sena, ta torwa meba te suna te hi chi tso di lao la nanda karma pa moju tu ji dewa patin tu sum chen bi kya long kanja tsur ta tu sena, tene tsoni je ge ware.
Naso. So what this refers to, according to the glorious 8th Karmapa Mikyo Dorje in his commentary called The Key Instructions of Dusum Kenpa, what one should never abandon is the two accumulations, the accumulation of merit and wisdom. And you could also call it the Mahayana, accumulation of merit and wisdom. But this is something one never wants to be apart from. And so these two accumulations of merit and wisdom, one never wants to get rid of them or be apart from them, discard them. But at the same time, they are empty of their own essence. They are empty of any type of true existence.
Tina chuni je geva la dembar hina yang tene hemba dembar hemba ten chingzi yimisena tene chuni le chuni je geva la dembar hemba dobiche do toro me patongwa je.
One may know that the two accumulations are virtue and what liberate, but if we think that that virtue of these two accumulations is truly existent, then it's not liberating at all, it's binding. And so in order to be free of that bondage, we have to know that they are, both these accumulations are empty of their own essence, and that's the purpose for teaching this emptiness.
Tene chuni ji gewa yang, jik toma dang, jik toma rang yin le deba ham, tende nang zan yin bi sena, rang yin ji tong gore.
Since the virtue of the two accumulations is neither one thing nor many things, since it is a dependently arisen mere appearance, then for these two reasons, it has no inherent nature of its own.
Tene choni je geva la dembar hina, dembar hemba de kinching de choni je geva tarsitu.
If we cling to these two accumulations as being truly existent, then that will bind us and prevent us from taking them to their ultimate perfection.
Tene choni je geva ya rang yinji me batona.
But if we know that the two accumulations virtue has no inherent nature of its own, then we can in fact perfect it. So please know, therefore, that the virtue of the two accumulations has no inherent nature of its own.
Torvata, Borwala Nebarju. Tormi Toma Mebate. gayan tormi kanyinba. Torwa meba teni je, teni tongba nye kanyin. Tidi se na tor meba, tongba nye je sabar juu.
So we'll recite together. To abandon something means to throw it away or to get rid of it. What should not be abandoned is what one should never cast away from oneself, the Mahayana. What should not be abandoned is empty of its very self. Since this emptiness is its nature, it is called the emptiness of what should not be abandoned. Again, we should sing the authentic portrait of the middle way and meditate while we do.
Yeah.
From the standpoint of the truth that's ultimate, besides no blocks there are not even Buddhas, no meditator and no meditated, no paths and levels traveled and no signs, and no fruition bodies and no wisdoms, and therefore there is no nirvana there. Just designations using names and statements, all animate, inanimate, the three realms, unborn and non-existent from the outset, no base to rest on, do not coexist. There is no karmic act, no maturation. So even the name samsara does not exist. That's the way these are in the final picture. But oh, if sentient beings did not exist, what would the Buddhas of three times all come from? Since fruition with no cause impossible. So the standpoint of the truth that's relative is samsara's wheel, nirvana, past all grief. It all exists, that is the sage's teaching. Then what exists appearing to be things? And their non-existence, pure being, emptiness, are essentially inseparable one taste, and therefore there is neither self-awareness nor awareness of what's other anywhere. All of this a union vast and spacious, and all those skilled in realizing this do not see consciousness, they see the wisdom. Do not see sentient beings, they see Buddhas. Don't see phenomena, they see pure being. And out of this compassion just emerges retention, powers, fearlessness, and all the qualities embodied by a Buddha. Just come as if you had a wishing jewel. This is what I, the yogi, have realized.
Chūsūmbā Chūtāṃjē tōṃbāni Kāṃchō jētā rēkrodāṃ tēlē sōṃvā chōrō Zūpchīn mēntēkīn dūzē nūmā sēchō Chūtē tāna tāṃjē jē tētā kēvē tōṃnē kāṃ kēsā vā sō
Chūnībā jō mā sō
Ā
Chūnībā
Mā sōṃ
Mā sōṃ
Āyā Ārē dō Chūk bā sō Chūnī pārē dō Chūnī pārē, chūnī pā Dūsē lāsū ngū nī kānsē lōmā rāngsāng jī Jāsē tē kī hī nām jī mānsē tē sē dūsē lā Sōpā nām jī ngū nī rāngī nī dū nyē pā tē Tē nī jī tē tū nī kāng tē nā rāngī ntōng pā nī
The 12th is the emptiness of the true nature, and here the two verses read, The very essence of the composite and everything else was not created by the students, the solitary Buddhas, the Bodhisattvas, or even the Buddhas. Therefore, this essence of the composite and so forth is explained to be the true nature of phenomena. It itself is empty of itself. This is the emptiness of the true nature.
Dese la soba namje moni de kangasena loma ran sanje da loma nindu da ran sanje da dene sanju jase Jase Sanju Sambada Tehin Hewa Namje Manzeba Mazeba Yembati Seno Duze La Soba Namje Muni Rangin Tumbani Imbab Ni Kangimbatene Rangin Ni Dunyabate Zuchu Lendeba Garub Lendeba Rangin Ni Dunyabate Rangin Tumbani Tian Rangin Tian Tenye je tomba, ranga ngu tomba ni. Kangyan ba tene, rangyan tomba ni do. Tiksoma?
Tiksoma.
Te tam je kogito wa?
Kogito.
Yeah.
The very essence of the composite and everything else, meaning the genuine reality of all composite things and all other phenomena, was not something that was created by the students, meaning the Shravakas, the hearers, the solitary Buddhas, wasn't made by them, wasn't made by the Bodhisattvas, wasn't made by even the Buddhas. None of these noble beings created the genuine nature of reality. And therefore, this essence of the composite and so forth is explained to be the true nature of phenomena. It just is how they are. No one made it that way. It is beyond fixing up or breaking down. It's beyond creating something or causing something to stop. It is just the true nature of things. And it itself, this true nature, is empty of itself. It's empty of true nature. And this is the emptiness of the true nature.
Dodo na ngobo nam je toni de sujan zupa mai rangi je tomba nyeri. Rangi de kapso toni jeba te tomba nyeri de toni la toni di khenba kakuche de somba re. De choni pa te toni la rangi di khenba.
In short, the true nature of all things wasn't made by anyone. The emptiness of all things wasn't made by anyone. So the emptiness of all things is their true nature. It just is how they really are. And in order to help us stop taking this emptiness that we know is the true nature of things to be truly existent, then we are taught the emptiness of the true nature. In the fourth, the emptiness here, the subject is actually the same as the fourth emptiness, the emptiness of emptiness. Right? They're both talking about emptiness, but they are taught separately because they have different purposes. The fourth one is taught to help us stop taking emptiness itself to be truly existent. And this 12th one is taught to help us not take emptiness as the true nature of things to be truly existent. We'll recite together.
Yeah.
The very essence of the composite and everything else was not created by the students, the solitary Buddhas, the Bodhisattvas, or even the Buddhas. Therefore, this essence of the composite and so forth is explained to be the true nature of phenomena. It itself is empty of itself. This is the emptiness of the true nature.
Ta chu somba chu tam je tong ba ni kham jo je da re dro ga te le so cho dro ga zu jin zu ki me de gi de zen de ma se ju na chu de da na tam je je te da ke wa tong ni ga te da ki wi tong ni ga.
The 13th is the emptiness of all phenomena. And here the root verses read, the 18 potentials, the six types of contact, and from those six, the six types of feeling, all that has form and all that does not, the composite and the non-composite, these comprise all phenomena. All of these phenomena are void of themselves. This is the emptiness of all phenomena.
Jujya kaam, drai kaam, te kaam, roi kaam, rizya kaam da namba, rizya kaam, chujya kaam da ham, bhubhuti mikva yorja kaam do. Mega kaam, nava kaam, nai kaam, che kaam, lujya kaam, yeja kaam, tokte ten vambu kaam. Mega nambar chepe kaam, nava nambar chepe kaam, ay number jibu ga je number le je number jibu ga ye je number jibu kam ro go te te ma nam ye je kam ro de te kam jo je si jo dra so song so.
The potential of form, the potential of sound, the potential of smell, the potential of taste, the potential of tactile sensation, and the potential of phenomena, these are called the six potentials or dhatus that are the focal condition, for a consciousness, focal object of any consciousness. So the word potential is used as here a translation for the Sanskrit word dhatu, because these are things that when you bring them together with these three groups of six, the first are these outer objects, then it's said that you have the seed or the potential for the arising of a knowing consciousness. So that's the reason for giving them this name. So when it says the potential of form, it refers to the form itself that's out there. That's called a potential in this context. And so those are the six that are the focal conditions. And then you have the six that are called the supports for consciousness. And these are the eye sense faculty potential, the ear sense faculty potential, the nose sense faculty potential, the tongue sense faculty potential, the body sense faculty potential, and the mental potential, the mental consciousness's faculty. And these sense faculties and the mental faculty are called the supports for their respective consciousnesses, because you need them in order for their respective consciousnesses to come into existence. And then finally you have the group of six that are the consciousnesses themselves, and these are called the supported. And so they are the eye sense consciousness potential, the ear sense consciousness potential, the nose sense consciousness potential, the tongue sense consciousness potential, the body sense consciousness potential, and the mental consciousness potential. Three groups of six, the focal object, the support, and the supported, make 18 potentials. The six types of contact are the contact of the eye and so forth, its object and its consciousness, the contact that's made by the ear, its consciousness and its object, the contact of the nose, the contact made by the tongue, by the body, and the contact made by the mental consciousness. So these are the six kinds of contact. And then you have the six types of feeling, each one arising from this contact. So you have feeling that arises from a moment of contact of form with the eye. There's a feeling that arises from a moment of contact with the ear and its object. A feeling that arises from the contact of that's made by the nose. Feeling that arises from contact that's made by the tongue. Feeling that arises from contact that's made by the body and its particular object, and feeling that arises when the mental consciousness and a phenomenon that it thinks about come into contact. All that has form and all that does not, the composite, meaning that which arises, abides, and ceases, and the non-composite, which does not have the characteristics of arising, abiding, or ceasing, these comprise all phenomena. So you can put all phenomena into these categories. And then the next verse says, all of these phenomena are void of themselves because they are neither one thing nor many things, because they are dependently arisen, because they arise only in dependence upon the coming together of a collection of causes and conditions. Therefore, they have no essence of their own. And this emptiness of essence is called the emptiness of all phenomena. Recite together. The 18 potentials, the 6 types of contact, and from those 6, the 6 types of feeling, all that has form and all that does not, the composite and the non-composite, these comprise all phenomena. All of these phenomena are void of themselves. This is the emptiness of all phenomena. And now again, we need to sing an authentic portrait of the Middle Way and meditate. From the standpoint of the truth that's ultimate, besides no blocks there are not even Buddhas, no meditator and no meditated, no paths and levels traveled and no signs. And no fruition bodies and no wisdoms, and therefore there is no nirvana there. Just designations using names and statements, all animate in animate the three realms. Unborn and non-existent from the outset, no base to rest on, do not coexist. There is no karmic act, no maturation, so even the name samsara does not exist. That's the way these are in the final picture. But oh, if sentient beings did not exist, what would the Buddhas of 3 times all come from? Since fruition with no cause impossible. So the standpoint of the truth that's relative is samsara's wheel, nirvana, past all grief. It all exists, that is the sage's teaching. Then what exists appearing to be things? And their non-existence, pure being emptiness, are essentially inseparable one taste. And therefore there is neither self-awareness, nor awareness of what's other anywhere. All of this a union vast and spacious, and all those skilled in realizing this do not see consciousness, they see the wisdom. Do not see sentient beings, they see Buddhas. Don't see phenomena, they see pure beings. And out of this compassion just emerges retention powers, fearlessness, and all the qualities embodied by a Buddha. Just come as if you had a wishing jewel. This is what I, the yogi, have realized.
주제 파랑이 진이 동바 녀라 몬 돌템바 주진 제버케 바틴 드데템바 숨제나니 몬 돌텐다 티 드데테바 템바 녀데다 부키 예케데 지스히
라사
담보 좀 돈이 쭈로 참케도 드데히
The 14th emptiness has three parts to it in the commentary by the Karmapa. He divides it into first an introductory, a summary introduction by means of stating the essence of what it is, and then by going into each topic individually, an extensive explanation, and finally, a brief summary of all of these subjects together, and a description of how they are empty. So, first, while we're just going through the 16 emptinesses the first time, I'm just going to explain to you the introductory essence of it and the concluding summary. And then, if we have time, we'll come back and go through them all, the extensive explanation in more detail.
Sijite mehi je zoza chikwa mayimba zog tam je yabara. Dane zog su rongwa, zog su uba, zog su ntayba, zog jin sinye daore. Zorong, zog su rongwa. Dekin do chaki sikwa mayin chini la soba. Chini zoza ni le.
And so to get this introductory essence, the first, the last two lines of verse 201 here say, the non-existence of entities such as suitable to be form and so forth is the emptiness of defining characteristics. So defining characteristics refer to the object to which you give a name. The characteristics of the thing that you call by a certain name. And for example, if you say hot and burning, those are the defining characteristics of fire. So to something that has these characteristics of hot and burning, you give the name fire. So that's what we're talking about, this object of these characteristics to which a name is given. And starts out by saying suitable to be form. Well, suitable to be form is the defining characteristic of form. Form is that which is suitable to be form. Now, it might seem strange that you have the same word in both the name and the defining characteristics, but actually it has to be that way because it's not just talking about forms that the eye consciousness sees. It's talking about everything that appears to the all of the five sense consciousnesses and some other specific things. So there's no way you can define that except just to say that it is that which is suitable to be form. That's the definition of form. And the great scholars knew that, and because they knew that it had to cover all of these categories, that's how they made the definition. And then you have hot and burning and so forth. And the non-existence in genuine reality of all of these defining characteristics is the emptiness of defining characteristics. That's the introductory summary. So, form has to include not only the object that appears to the eyes, but also the what appears to the ears, nose, tongue, and body, tactile sensations. It has to include all of that. It also has to include these sense faculties, the eye sense faculty, the ear sense faculty, and so forth. So you can't just call form that which appears to the eyes. So we say it is that which is suitable to be form, and then you can look at the individual types of form and know the differences between them.
Zoron lazo ngeme ga dena raze domba Zoron lazo ngeme dena raze domba.
So we'll recite these two lines twice. The non-existence of entities such as suitable to be form and so forth is the emptiness of defining characteristics. The non-existence of entities such as suitable to be form and so forth is the emptiness of defining characteristics.
The human day. Sumbatun tin dor dobre. Kangin dozen tinin don doma seven tinika. Ede kone tobani tenaranzi tobani. Kangi, Jujin tender jendo seven doze ji choose nam jentinita. Jujin jendoma seven doma seven pe chunam jentini kayimba. Doze than doma seven tinin kayimba. Teda.
And the concluding verse is found on page 4. It's number 215, right above the 15th emptiness. Which says, all composite and non-composite phenomena have their own individual defining characteristics. These are all empty of themselves, and this is the emptiness of defining characteristics. So, all things that are composite, that arise, abide, and cease, have some defining characteristics to which we give whatever name we decide to give. And all of the non-composite phenomena, which don't arise, abide, or cease, have their own defining characteristics too. These are all empty of their own essence, and this is the emptiness of defining characteristics.
Tony Chudruk Tamche di la Dugido.
Meme. Tony Chudruk Rerilla Tiki Rerilla Bacabs and the Lana degrees. Tony Chudruk Rerilla Tiki Doa.
Rella.
Or Dickabs and the Lana degrees. Tony Rerilla Tiki Rerido.
Rella.
Tony Labacabs or Tony Dene Tubki Pussy and the Lana degrees.
Massa, Massa.
Kanga and the Jeba and Mambo the left of Udua.
Massa.
Oh.
So when we're going through the 16 emptinesses and you just want like one verse for each one or two verses for each one as we've been doing, then for this 14th emptiness, then you would pick this one, this last verse. You don't need to, you wouldn't go through them all. Just this one would be enough to identify exactly what this 14th emptiness is talking about. So let's recite it together. All composite and non-composite phenomena have their own individual defining characteristics. These are all empty of themselves, and this is the emptiness of defining characteristics.
Tātōnyi jōngā pātē māmek pētōmpa nīrī. Māmek pētōmpa nīrī, tātā wātē mīnēkī dētā māṁ yōmī. Kāntā tētā mēmē pātē lā mēmē pāki jō.
The 15th is the emptiness of the imperceptible. And here the first verse reads, the present does not abide, the past and the future do not exist. Wherever you look, you do not see them, so the three times are called imperceptible. The present does not abide for even a second instant, for even the tiniest moment. The present does not remain. So if you try to find the present, you can't point to it. You can't look at it or perceive it.
Then, yeah.
And the past is gone, so it doesn't exist. The future doesn't exist. It hasn't happened yet. And that's why the three times are called imperceptible, because wherever you look, you do not see them.
Tene tenanzo sejala tajukta ndu tene sekemte zo tsegdo sekemte zo tsamatam na tene zo zogre tanda tele thawa zo na mikto tene mama basere tu mane mama ba me mata pare thomo da pare.
So you in the West, for example, when tajuk tamwe
kaso tajuk ta sanjo so mojukta tajukta chejukta mota jukwa ta so
When you in the West have racing competitions like horse races or car races or people sprinting to compete to see who's the fastest, then everything gets timed in these instants, like how many seconds did this person go, and then there are even sub-instants of that. And the thing is, though, if you think about it, you can't even really see a second. It's too fast. If you try to say, that's a second, for us, normally, we couldn't perceive that. And that's even a very coarse moment of time. And it, because as you can see in the little numbers that are going faster than that, there are lots of sub-instants of the second, and sub-instants of those, you can divide it up until you realize that you can't find the present at all. So an instant or a moment, you could say a moment has the definition of the time it takes to complete an activity is a moment. So what's the smallest moment? According to the Buddhist teachings, the smallest moment they called the moment of a finger snap. The moment it takes to complete that activity of a finger snap. But even that, you can't perceive because it doesn't remain. It doesn't stick around. As soon as the very moment that it comes into existence, it's gone at the same time. So because it doesn't remain for even a second instant, then it's imperceptible. And then they also said that this finger snap could be divided itself into 64 smaller instants. And that was the smallest moment of time that they got. Well, try to find one of those 64 smaller instants of a finger snap. It's impossible. You can't perceive it. And we could even obviously get smaller than that. We could divide each of those 64 into 100 or 1,000 or 100,000 or 1,000,000, and all of these would be equally imperceptible. And that's why time is actually, when we analyze it, imperceptible. The second verse says, the imperceptible is empty of its own essence. It does not remain, it does not cease, and this is the emptiness of the imperceptible. Since time is empty of essence, then it doesn't remain. There's nothing there to remain. But it doesn't cease either, because there's nothing really there to cease. So it's beyond remaining and ceasing, and this is called this emptiness of time, beyond abiding, beyond ceasing, is called the emptiness of the imperceptible.
This is not the moment.
So since you can't find anything that remains, and you can't find anything that ceases, then time is imperceptible. You can't identify anything either way. Let's recite together. The present does not abide, the past and the future do not exist. Wherever you look, you do not see them. So the three times are called imperceptible. The imperceptible is empty of its own essence. It does not remain, it does not cease. And this is the emptiness of the imperceptible.
Tony Jodoba, Jinlan Songsu, Mobo Mabo Moni Tombanin, Jinlan Songsu, Munamla, Duba Bayo Momi, Duba Bane Teni, Teni, Tony, Teni, Teni, Mome Tony, Mobo Mabo.
The 16th is the emptiness of an essence in the non-existence of things. And the verse reads, since things arise from causes and conditions, they are mere collections that have no essence. This non-existence of collections is empty of itself, and this is the emptiness of an essence in the non-existence of things. things are, whatever thing it is, it's really just a mere collection. It's just a name given to a group of smaller parts, collection of smaller parts. And we know that because whatever thing it is, it arises due to causes and conditions. So it's just a bunch of things coming together. So that name that's given to whatever collection it might be is just a name. It has no essence. There's really just a collection there. The collection itself, the mere, what's called the mere collection or the name given to the collection, has no essence. And this non-existence of essence in a collection is also empty. The non-existence is also empty of itself. And this is the emptiness of an essence in the non-existence of things. If you think about, for example, the rainbow that appears in a sky, in the sky, then that rainbow is just a collection of smaller things. To this mere collection, we give the name rainbow. That is just a mere coming together, a mere collection of causes and conditions. So that rainbow has no more essence than that. And it's also another technical term it's called by is the possessor of the collection. So you have a bunch of smaller parts, and what possesses those parts in this case? The rainbow. Well, where is that rainbow that's said to possess these parts? You can't find it anywhere. It's totally empty of essence. And that non-existence of essence in this possessor of the collection, this rainbow, this mere collection, that is also empty. And that is the 16th emptiness. Since things arise from causes and conditions, they are mere collections that have no essence. This non-existence of collections is empty of itself, and this is the emptiness of an essence in the non-existence of things. So now we've finished the enumeration of the 16 emptinesses. In the evening session, I will explain the four summarizing emptinesses.
Yeah.